I'm just glad I didn't fall down the stairs. It'd take more than one of y'all to pick me up. Yeah, that would have been a big bang. That's exactly right. The big bang would no longer be a theory. It would be back. Good morning.
Good morning.
Are y'all ready for the warmer weather? I can guarantee you I am ready for warmer weather. The older I get, the less I like cold weather. I do not like cold weather. Period. Except if I'm in the house in front of the fire. Then it's okay. And I love looking out my window and watching the snow fall. It was great. Now, I didn't like looking out this window and watching it fall last Sunday morning because I had to cut my sermon and everything really short. So that means I only did 15 minutes last week and I can do 45 minutes this week. Is that right? I'm good with that. I'm good with that. Yeah. Preach on. There you go. Preach on. Yeah. Yeah, I'm good with that. I'm good with that. I want to thank Mamie for the songs he read today.
Amen.
Because it kind of opens the door for my lesson this morning. And my lesson this morning is about how much Jesus paid for you.
Amen.
But then, on a personal note, how much are you giving back to Jesus? That's where I want to go today. How much are you giving back? How much are you doing? Yes, you know, you're here this morning. So that requires a little bit of sacrifice. But understand something. That's only this much sacrifice. There's more to it. And as we become free from sin, we become slaves to who? We become slaves to Christ. So realize that Jesus expects us to do something. God expects us to do something. What they expect us to do is turn away from the things of this world and turn to Him. And as I've told you a couple of times now, that one of my resolutions, it's not really a resolution, one of my hopes is that I myself will be a better Christian in 2024 than I was in 2023. That I will get better. I will get stronger. I will grow in faith. And folks, there's not anybody in this congregation that should not be willing to do that. We all need to grow. None of us are at the point that we are perfect in every way. None of us are. We were only made perfect through the blood of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And so therefore, we must seek to do His will. Remember what James says. You say you believe. That's great. But even the demons believe. Show me your faith by your works. Show me your faith by what you do. And in that manner, then you can say, not just by words, but by deeds, that I am a Christian, that I follow Jesus Christ. And His light shines through me. If you are not in that situation, then you've got a problem. I had a person tell me one time, and we'll get into this in just a second, but I had a person tell me one time, he said, if you're not being persecuted for your stance with Christ, then you need to recheck your stance with Christ. Because the world will persecute you. The world will turn against you because you don't stand with the world. you are not of this world, but we are of the kingdom of God that's established for us. That's where we are. And so with that in mind, I want to look at this, and I want to start off with this, these verses in Luke chapter 14 that says this. Now a large crowd was going along with Jesus, and he turned and said to them, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father, mother, wife, children, brothers, sisters, yes, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not carry his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which one of you, when he wants to build a tower, does not first sit down and calculate the cost to see if he has enough to complete it? Realize that there is a cost to following Jesus Christ. You know why? Because Satan doesn't want you to follow Jesus Christ. Satan wants you to turn away from Jesus Christ. Satan does not want you to be in heaven with God, with Christ. Satan wants you to be right with him in eternal fire and damnation. That's what Satan wants. And so we do have an adversary. We have that roaring lion who seeks to devour us. And so there will be a cost in serving God. There is a cost because we refuse to follow Satan. Now, how I want to go about this is this. What have I, what have you sacrificed? What are you sacrificing to follow God right now? Jesus gave his whole life for you. And that was the messages that we heard from the songs this morning. How Jesus gave his life for you. If it came down to it, would you give your life for Christ? If you were told that if you do not deny Christ, your head would be severed, would you stand for Christ? That's a very difficult thing to think about, but I want you to know Christ stood for you. Are you willing to stand for Christ? So where I'm going this morning is I want to start out with what exactly I am sacrificing. And I want you to know, as part of my hopes for this year, is that I hope that I personally will sacrifice more for God. Now that's strange coming from your preacher, isn't it? But I hope and pray that I am willing to sacrifice more for God because he sacrificed everything for me. Let's start with the first one. Matthew chapter 5, verses 10 through 11 says these words, blessed are those who have been persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Realize something. That if you decide to be baptized into Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, you will suffer persecution. There will be individuals who will stand up against you. There are individuals who would stand up and say, oh, you don't have to do that. There's no need to do that. You just say this prayer and you'll be saved. Folks, there is no prayer in the Bible that says that you will be saved if you say it. It doesn't exist. And if you find such a prayer, please let me know, because I've never seen it. But I can tell you this, that there are lots and lots of verses that tell me that you need to be baptized. Lots and lots. I can print you off the number of verses. 8 pages worth of verses that say you need to be baptized. And folks, one of the biggest things about that is this. If Jesus found it necessary to be baptized, why in the world would you think you don't have to be? Jesus Christ was baptized to fulfill all righteousness. Folks, we are the same. But we have one additional thing. The baptism that we do cleanses us of all of our sins. Jesus had no sins to be cleansed of. John even said so. That I have need to be baptized of you, and comest thou to me? And Jesus says, permit it to be so now. For it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. I told you the story of the young girl that got baptized. And by the way, Wendell, she's sitting right over here. There she is.
Amen.
Yes. Remember I told you about the young girl that was baptized in Mount Ida? We baptized her. We worked with her for a long time. Kathy did a great job with her, working with her about baptism. Her parents were faithful, and they worked with her, and I worked with her, and I had the honor to baptize her, and what a sweet girl she is. She's 18 now, about to graduate high school. And she went to school the next day and told her friends that she was baptized. And they said to her, yes, but when did you get saved? And the response was that she gave them, which is the correct response, was that when I was baptized. And they said, no, you don't understand. When did you get saved? And she said it again, when I was baptized. I'm proud of her, because she stood up to her friends and she told her friends, said, no, that's not how that works. Realize salvation comes through Jesus Christ. And only through Jesus Christ does salvation come. No one comes to the Father except through Him. And with that in your mind, realize that when you put on Jesus Christ in baptism, you put salvation on. Because He lives in you. So realize from the very beginning here is that you will suffer persecution when you decide to follow Christ. It will happen. And it will last throughout your life. Turn on the television for a short period of time. We saw something this morning that really concerned me. And I won't get into that. But I'm telling you, there are a lot of people out there that do not believe that the Bible is the Word of God. Folks, if you don't follow the Bible, you're going to be tossed to and fro by every wind, by every wave.
Amen.
Focus your attention on the Bible and realize that even though you are ridiculed, you are blessed. Second thing I want you to look at is this. Luke chapter 21, verse 16. Notice what it says. But you will be betrayed even by parents, brothers, sisters, relatives, and friends. And they will put some of you to death. Now realize what he's saying there. That even your parents, even your mothers, even your fathers, even your brothers, sisters, relatives, friends, will often rise up against you. You may have to, and I have done this, but you may have to denounce some of your friends. Not have anything to do with them anymore. And the reason why is because of the direction they try to pull you. If they try to pull me to hell, I'm going to try to pull them to heaven. But if I can't, I will wash my hands of them. And folks, I have done this. You may have done this, not only with friends, but with family members. Amen. There was an individual that I knew, not talking about Manny here, but there was an individual that I knew whose parents continually denounced him for following Jesus Christ. He got to the point that he couldn't even go over at Christmas time or go over at Thanksgiving because all they would do is ridicule him for following Christ. So he told me one day, he said, "I'm done. I can't keep doing this." And I said, "I understand." Because folks, there are those people out there that will do everything in their power to pull you away from God. Everything in their power. So you may have to turn away from friends. You may have to turn away from family. But realize something. You may lose a family member, but look at this family that you gained. What a blessing it is to be here with you today. Look at what we've gained. Thirdly, Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verses 1 and 2 says this, "I said to myself, come now, I will test you with pleasure. So enjoy yourself. And behold, it too was futility. I said of laughter, it is senseless. And of pleasure, what does it accomplish?" Realize, if you follow Christ, you're going to have to turn away from the pleasures of this world. You're going to have to be faithful to your spouse. You're going to have to put away the alcohol and the drugs. You're going to have to not go places other people go simply because you don't want to be associated with that. Realize that those things will take place. You will have to turn away from those things of this world because we do not stand with the world, we stand in opposition to it. And not only that, realize that our home is not of this world. Our home is in heaven. So therefore, I'm going to set aside those things of this world and focus my attention on the things which are above. Demas is a great example in the Bible. Demas is an individual that is listed three times in the New Testament by Paul. Twice he is listed as a fellow servant with him. But the third time he's listed as one who loved the pleasures of this world more than he loved God. And what did he do? He went back to the world. The rich young ruler is a great example. What did the rich young ruler love more than God? His wealth. He loved his wealth more than he loved God. So what happened? When Jesus told him, said, keep the commandments, he said, which ones? Jesus told him, six of how we love one another. He said, thus I have kept since my youth. What lack I yet? What he wanted Jesus to tell him was, you're great, you're fine, go home and enjoy yourself. Jesus didn't say that though, did he? He said, go and sell all that you have and give to the poor. Why did he say that? He didn't tell Abraham to do that. Abraham was extremely wealthy. The reason why he told this rich young ruler that is because he knew where the heart of this rich young ruler was. Is your heart in the pleasures of this world? Or is your heart in the joy which comes only through Jesus Christ? Realize where your heart is. Set aside the pleasures of this world and be like Job, who shunned evil, turned away from it, would not take part in it. Realize if you follow Jesus Christ, you will have to turn away from the pleasures of this world. Now, here's the other side of the coin. We always measure what we shall give versus what we shall receive. You hear all these stockbrokers and things on television advertising, if you invest with us, you're going to get 20%. Well, good luck. But realize that's what they're saying. You're going to give us a little bit, we're going to give you a lot. But also there's a lot of TV evangelists out there that say, if you'll just give me $1,000, God's going to give you $10,000. That don't work that way. But here's what we must do. We must always look at what we have gained and what we will gain through following Jesus Christ. Here it is, starting with the first one in 2 Timothy 2:10. We obtain salvation. It is eternal. It is perfect. It is glorious. And one of the things that we must understand is that Paul, after seeing what he was going to get, he said, I wish I could go on and get it. But he says, I know I've got a job to do here. So he stayed to do his job here. And much of the writings that we have, this one right here in 2 Timothy, we wouldn't have if it was not for Paul. But realize this also, that the joys in heaven are unimaginable. Perfect joy. Perfect happiness. Always with God. These are things that we can only at this point hope for, but we can obtain here while we are still yet here. Eternal salvation. Second, we obtain every spiritual blessing. Now, one of the things that I like to bring up dealing with spiritual blessings is this. If you don't have God, if you don't have Jesus Christ, what do you have? Remember in Ecclesiastes that we just read just a minute ago, what good is it? It means nothing. Solomon said, vanity, vanity, all is vanity. And he had all the wealth, all the things that this world could give him. But he said in his wise years, he said, none of it matters. Because if I don't have God, I have nothing. Remember the Egyptians. They sought to take it all with them. Did they take it with them? No. Thieves broke in and stole. All the gold they laid up, they couldn't take with them. Remember, they even wanted to take their number one servant, to bury their number one servant with them. And I told you the story before that if I was their number one servant, I said, no, that's not me, that's this guy over here. Bury him with him. They sought to take everything with them. They would take their animals with them. They would take their horses, their cows, whatever it was, they would take with them. And when they broke open those seals to those tombs, where were all those things? They were still there. The thieves broke in and stole the gold. It's still there. Why? Because you can't take that with you. It means nothing. And Solomon said, it means nothing. So therefore, where your treasure needs to be laid up is where? In heaven. Because if my treasure is laid up in heaven, thieves do not break in and steal. Moth and rust does not corrupt. It is there forever. So we have that spiritual blessing of being with God always in our life. We have someone that we can talk to. Someone that can help us in our hour of need. Someone who is always there for us. This is spiritual blessings. But also one other thing that I want to point out here in Galatians chapter 5, verse 2, 22 through 23, which I love these verses. I want you to realize this, that we receive every earthly blessing too. Now that doesn't mean that we're going to be rich financially, but we're going to be rich spiritually. Realize something also, that we can find joy in the roughest times of our life. If we have God, if we have Christ. But we cannot find it anywhere else. There is no joy in wealth. There is no joy in houses, in jobs, in new boats. There's only joy that comes through knowing Christ. Folks, I'm going to tell you, I'd like to have a new boat. But I'd much rather have Jesus Christ. Joy can only come through Him. So love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control only can come through knowing Jesus Christ. I want to finish with this verse in Romans chapter 5, verse 5, which says this: when you have God, when you have Christ, you have love that is beyond understanding. You have received the love of God, which God poured out for you through the blood of His Son, Jesus Christ, who pays our debt for sin so that we can be with Him for an eternity. Understand that that love is eternal. Understand that love cannot be shaken. Understand that that love for you is given to you each and every day. Why don't you give it back? Why don't you love God as you yourself have been loved? Sacrifice the things of this world and focus your attention on the things which are above. If you have a need this morning, a need for baptism or a need for our prayers, we encourage you to come while together we stand and sing.
This one song might not be for everyone, but someone out there probably needs to give their life to the Lord. My
as you go into this new year, 2024, I want you to think about, what have I sacrificed for God? What am I doing for God? What am I doing to help spread His word? Help spread the gospel? Help fill the kingdom of heaven? What am I doing to serve Him? He has given all to serve you. Give back to Him who has given everything to you. Thank you for being here this morning. Thank you for fighting the cold and coming out.
Yes, sir.
And folks, thank you for the love that you have for Jesus Christ.
Yes, sir.
I pray everyone has a good afternoon, small groups. I hope you guys can meet together. For those who are sick and cannot make it, just keep praying for them. And if you don't have the church mass text, please, it's in the bulletin, and we will shoot out in case the weather gets bad. Let's sing to the Lord. Let's blow the roof off this house. He became sin, who knew no sin.
Y'all pray with me, please. Dear Lord, we